As a reminder, there'll be no class next Tuesday and Thursday. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, Genesis 2. We'll finish up chapter 2, at least get started on finishing up, verses 21 through 25 as of the package here. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you've dealt with your sin nature appropriately before God, before the study of His Word. That is, by employing the rebound technique in the event of personal sin in one's life. Apart from being filled with God, the Holy Spirit, which this is the mechanics, rebound, is the mechanics to do so, one cannot approach the truth of Bible doctrine. Otherwise, they are under their natural man, as so Paul so calls it, and you will end up distorting, abusing the doctrine in some form or fashion in regards to your own thinking and otherwise application, as is so designed to produce and sponsor for each and every one of us in regards to our assimilation of it. So obviously, we need to get in fellowship if we have not already, and I'll give you an opportunity to do so as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for the veracity of your word. We thank you that it is absolute truth in spite of what Satan's world, the cosmos, claims otherwise. We thank you for the revelation of it to those who are positive, that we can take these things, reprogram our minds with the mind of Christ, and otherwise effectively take captive every thought for him as we glorify you in time in our Christian walk. All this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in the final section now, chapter 2, in verses 18 and following, we saw that God determined that man's solitude, being by himself, was not a good thing. And this is very striking because of all the aspects of restoration that was recorded for us in chapter 1. God declared these things as good or very good. So this emphasizes the fact that God created men to have the companionship, the company of others around them, their own like, their own species, the human race, in this respect. And before God determines to make a helper that is fitting for him properly, the female species, he first, as we saw, had Adam name all the animals of the ground, and or all the animals that God created. And as Adam went through this, this obviously heightens a sense of loneliness. He becomes sensitized as he sees the animals coming in by twos, male and female of the species, families in that regards, and that he does not have a counterpart. So all this is designed to enhance the situation before us, what we see and picture in the narrative, as well as recognize the importance of the man in exercise of authority in regards to the new helper that God is going to create for him. That aspect, the naming of the animals, is generally bypassed regardless of commentaries, but that is an evidence that Adam is willing to exercise authority appropriately before God, which as one who desires to be a husband over a wife, obviously the male is to understand and have the authority instilled in them and recognizing its needed application with respect to having their right opposite number or the right weaker vessel counterpart in this regards. Now in verses 21 through 25, here we are given now the account of the actual creation of the woman. Looking here at the Hebrew, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. You have the wow consecutive, translated so here, plus the hifil verb, which is causative, imperfect, future. Third masculine singular of our verb, nafal. N-A-P-H. N-A-P-H-A-L. Nafal. Cause to fall. Follow with the proper noun and the noun Yahweh Elohim, as is common throughout the chapter. Cause to fall. A deep sleep. A deep sleep is the noun, common feminine singular absolute of Taradama. T-A-R-E-D-D-E-M-A-H. Taradama. Is used seven times. A deep sleep. Followed with the preposition all, A-L, upon the man, here Adam. Noun, common masculine singular absolute, Adam, A-D-A-M. Plus the wow consecutive, the cal verb, imperfect third masculine singular, and he slept, Yashin, Y-A-S-H-E-N. Then he, God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. Then he took his year wow consecutive with the cal imperfect third masculine singular of the verb lakah, L-A-Q-A-H. He took, lay hold of, seized one of his ribs. One is the adjective feminine singular absolute of ekad, E-C-H-A-D. From his ribs, literally. Preposition men, M-I-N. Follow with the noun, common feminine plural, construct with the third masculine singular suffix, tesela, rib, T-S-E-L-A, tesela, and close up the flesh at that place. While consecutive, then our verb to close up, shut up, cal imperfect third masculine singular, sagar, S-A-G-A-R, the flesh, is the noun common masculine singular absolute of basar, B-A-S-A-R. At that place is a preposition with the third feminine singular suffix, takat, T-A-C-H-A-T, takat, beneath the one rib. In his place is the literal. All right, verse 22. Then the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. While consecutive plus the cal imperfect third masculine singular verb bana, and he fashioned, B-A-N-A-H, another forming or creation verb we see here in the list of verbs we've seen, bara, asa, etc. This verb means to build, to construct, hence fashion. And then our subject, obviously, here in the proper format, Yahweh Elohim. The Lord God fashioned. Then you have the sign of the direct object, plus the definite article, and the noun, common feminine singular for rib, again, tesela, T-S-E-L-A-H. God built, literally, the rib, which is a relative pronoun, Asher, Ashar, A-S-H-E-R. He had taken the cal perfect, third masculine singular of Lakah, L-A-Q-A-H, from the man, preposition men, M-I-N, followed with our noun, Adam, Adam, into a woman. This is the Hebrew sequence of the verbs. You have the preposition, Lamed, plus the noun, common feminine singular absolute for woman, ishah, I-S-H-A-H, and to a woman, female, wife, as this woman is meant to be, and brought her to the man. You have the wow consecutive plus the causative verb here, again, hifil, imperfect third masculine singular with a third feminine singular suffix, bo, simply bo, B-O, in the Hebrew, and he caused to bring her to the man. Preposition L, E-L, followed with the noun Adam, to the man. Then we have the first recorded words of a human in the scripture. Verse 23, and the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. We have the wow consecutive, cal imperfect third masculine singular to say, Amar, A-M-A-R. And he said, the man, with the definite article, Adam, A-D-A-M. The noun Adam. This is now bone of my bones. You have the adjective feminine singular, Zoth, Z-O-T-H. This, followed with the definite article, the common feminine singular noun absolute of Pa'am, P-A-A-M, Pa'am. This word expresses time. We translated this, at last, is the sense. Bone of my bones. You have our common feminine singular noun absolute, etsem, for bone. E-T-S-E-M in the singular. From my bones, you have the preposition men, followed with the common feminine plural construct with the third common singular, with the first singular common suffix, again, etsem, repeated, and flesh of my flesh, wow conjunction. Then our noun for flesh, common masculine singular absolute, basar, B-A-S-A-R, basar, from, men, of my flesh, the noun repeated with the first singular common suffix, basar. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You have the preposition, lamed, plus the adjective feminine singular, zoth, repeated, Z-O-T-H. We would say, accordingly, this one will be called as nifal, passive verb, imperfect third masculine singular of kara, Q-A-R-A-H, kara, woman, ishah, common feminine singular, absolute, I-S-H-A-H. Follow the particle key, because, K-I-Y, from man, you have the preposition men, then our noun for man, common masculine singular absolute, ish, I-S-H, isha, men, ish. She was taken, this one, literally. Again, the cow, perfect third feminine singular of the verb laka, taken, L-A-Q-A-H. This one, adjective feminine singular, zoth, D-O-T-H. Then verse 24, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The preposition all, A-L, followed with the adverb, therefore, or for this reason, kin, K-E-N, concerning, thus, he will leave or forsake, is a cal imperfect third masculine singular of the verb azab, A-Z-A-B, azab, or azab. He will leave, forsake, separate from, plus the noun common masculine singular absolute, for our word for man, ish, repeated, I-S-H, plus the sign of the direct object, the man. He will leave the man, and that receives the action of his leaving is, to begin with, his father. You had the noun, common masculine singular, construct with the third masculine singular suffix, ab, for father, his father, ab. And, conjunction, while conjunction. And another sign of direct object to make sure neither one of these are missed. Don't rationalize it. His mother, third masculine singular suffix attached to the common feminine singular construct noun, m, ab and m, em. And shall cleave to his wife, while consecutive with the cal verb, perfect third masculine singular of dabak, d-a-b-a-q, to cleave, join to, stick to, all nuances of that verb, to his wife, he had the preposition bait, with the noun, common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, for a woman, with his wife, Isha, I-S-H-A-H, and they will become one flesh. While consecutive, they will become, exist, a cal perfect third mass, third common plural of our verb, haya, H-A-Y-A-H. They will exist, become, followed with the preposition lamed, and the common masculine singular noun absolute as flesh, basar, B-A-S-A-R, followed with the adjective of our word for one, masculine singular absolute, ekad, E-C-H-A-D. In verse 25, and the man and his wife were both naked. I said that right, hopefully. And we're not ashamed. While consecutive, cal, imperfect, third masculine plural. And they existed while hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Plus the adjective, masculine dual construct, with the third masculine plural suffix. Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M, and they existed both or two, followed with the adjective masculine plural absolute of our word for naked is arom, A-R-O-M, arom. The man and his wife, literally. Definite article, or noun for man, Adam, followed with the vowel construct, with the third masculine singular suffix, Isha, his wife. Vowel conjunction, the negative lo, L-O, followed with the hith polel, the imperfect third masculine plural, intensive active, were not themselves ashamed, or intensive passive, were not themselves ashamed, is our word, Bosh. B-O-S-H. Were not ashamed. So the Lord God, rereading the verses, caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place beneath that rib. In verse 22, and the Lord God fashioned from the rib into a woman which he had taken from the man, the rib which he had taken the man, the woman, and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cling to his wife, cleave, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. analysis of verses 21 through 25. 1. Genesis 1:27 records the creation of the man and woman on D plus 6. Back in chapter 1, we saw on day 6 of the restoration, as the narrative reveals, that God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. So Genesis 1:27 puts together on the same day, the sixth day of restoration, the creation of man and woman. So 2, however, the creation in that account centered on soul life. There we had our creative verb, bara, which means to create ex nihilo, out of nothing, as the male and female would be God's image bearers. What he creates out of nothing is the soul essence of the male-female counterpart. So 3, further, the making, the asah verb, to make something out of something, to manufacture, of man in his completed state, mentioned in verse 26 of chapter 1, highlights the planning state, not the actual creation. It denotes God's determination. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." So both verses obviously document the creation of the male and female on the sixth day, but they come short of giving us all the particulars, only that God determined to do so, and that there was a soul essence definitely created, ex nihilo, to make the man and woman in God's own image. So 4, not until chapter 2, verse 7, and now verse 21, do we find the particulars of the origins of the male-female bodies. In 2:7, we have the particulars given in regards to the man. And then the Lord God formed man. Yatsar in the Hebrew. Like a potter using clay of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. And man became a living being. And then in verse 27, verse 21, we have the creation of the woman as God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man and he slept. And he took one of the ribs, closed up the flesh at that place, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. So not until this particular chapter in his topical discussions do we find the particulars of the origins of the male-female bodies. So 5, after God manufactured the animals, he first made the male from the dust of the ground, then the female, afterwards, around the man's rib. So on D plus 6, first of all, God created the land animals. And then he created man, this in sequence, and then the woman. And the woman's creation is around the man's rib. So 6, also, the creation of the female followed man's naming of the animals, as we pointed out in verses 19 through 20. Even though God determined that Adam's solitude was not good, before he made the woman and brought her to him, he required Adam to sit there as he paraded all the animals that he created before him and named them all. And as Adam does this, obviously he reflects upon his own solitude, that he has no counterpart as the animals do, for the procreation aspect of life, but otherwise for his own fellowship, companionship of one of likeness in this regards. And there obviously is a air of disappointment as he goes through and names them all, that there is nothing in God's creation that is befitting for his own person. So seven, while there are literally a million plus species of animals in the world, they're still finding new ones. People think that they had the past all figured out, that they can't even keep up with the present. So while there are literally a million plus species of animals in the world, there are six main classes of animals, to include mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, amphibians, and invertebrates. That's how they break down the class of animals. And you can get that from the kids' website, sciencecastle.com. It's easy for me to understand. So this is generally what is taught in school, at least it was in I grew up, in regards to biology and other academia, in regards to animals, and that while there's millions of species, they can be broken down in classes and families and genus, etc. And I'm bringing this out because, as we know, the creation of the animals, then the creation of man, and now him naming all these animals that God created, and then the creation of woman happens within a 24-hour period. So how is that possible? No normal human being could go through billions of animals and name each individual one of them. So we're breaking it down for you. Eight of these classes now. There are approximately 435 families, excluding fish and invertebrates. He was not required to name the fish. The slimy creatures, those without vertebrae, as his was to name the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the cattle, those types of animals, land animals, and air animals in that regards. So there's 435 animals, families of the areas of animals that he was required to name. So nine, it is not unfeasible that God embedded genetic codes in the original families of animals, allowing for the reproduction afforded the many genus and species otherwise over time. Obviously, he made two human beings, and now two human beings we have, while the same in regards to our own species of two arms, two legs, head, etc., we have a lot of different appearances. We have a lot of different variations that we can look at. So it is in the animal world in regards to cattle and things of this nature. Obviously, there's different species of cattle. There's water buffalo, cows, things of this nature. But these generally all class in one family. So what we're saying here, it's not unfeasible that God in the original creation of animals simply created the families of animals and programmed in regards to their DNA and their structural cells that those things necessary as they reproduce to then reproduce in variations of themselves within their family to come up with the different kinds of species, etc., that we might find or differentiate in regards to these families of animals. So that's point 10. In other words, Adam's naming of the animals could have been accomplished in relatively short order, less than a day, if he only had to address 435 or so pairs of animals in this respect. So 11, now as noted, there was no mate found for Adam in the lower animal creation. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him, a fitting counterpart, a fitting companion. 12, Yahweh Elohim now begins resolving this issue of man's solitude by causing a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. 13, our observations here. Adam literally had to do nothing to bring about his right woman. God, in anticipation, caused the events necessary to happen in regards to Adam's wife and his right opposite number. God, first and foremost, did not even address Adam as to the situation. He predetermined it. And he did this obviously on Adam's behalf, recognizing that the solitude is not good. So he has divine anticipation that is perfect in regards to man. Now, in addition to that, as it comes to providing his right opposite number, Adam still is not have to do anything in order to make all this happen and for this to occur. So he literally had to do nothing to bring about his right woman. This is in total contrast to what the cosmos tries to shove down your throats today. You've got to get out there, even Christian websites, you've got to go out there and help God. See, that's their ploy, basically. You know, their little fundy approach. Yeah, we all believe in God, and God is going to help you on this, but you got to get out there and do it yourself too. See, well, that's nothing more than human viewpoint and satanic attack in regards to recognizing God in His omnipotent power being in control of the creation of man and their whole life otherwise. God's anticipation caused events necessary to happen. He made everything otherwise possible. So 14, now here in this creation scenario, we had the first instance of surgery with induced anesthesia performed upon a human. That's the first recorded one. First recorded hospital visit here. And it's performed by God. God's the surgeon. And He's also the anesthesiologist. And I can almost bet Adam had sweet dreams. Of course, I'm speculating. So 15, now to address this language here. Is it just being repetitive, deep sleep, and he slept? What's going on here? 15, now the deep sleep, which is taredama, was a state of unconsciousness. But in that state, the individual still can retain thought or the ability to dream. It doesn't shut down completely the subconscious and your workings of your mind in this state called a deep sleep. But you are unconscious. 16, the noun is used in occasions for divine revelation. Example, Genesis 15:12. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, to be Abraham. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. He's still privy to what's going on within his mind. And then God utilizes the situation, opportunity, to reveal to Abraham certain promises in regards to his person. That's verse 13. God said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years." So a vision or a direct divine exposure of the truth is given to Abram in this condition of a deep sleep. That's our same term used there. Job 33:15, another example. Verse 14, indeed God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, when they slumber in their beds, is how God may reveal Himself through prophetic revelation, etc., a direct divine revelation. He opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. See? And often that was how God did speak directly to humans, positive humans, generally speaking. in time to reveal divine viewpoint. So the noun is used in conjunction with divine revelation. So that shows you that you're unconscious, that your mind's still able to work like you're in a really deep sleep, in a dream state. 17. Now, what is the most important for Adam is that the individual is completely oblivious to what is otherwise happening in his external periphery. That's why we would say one is unconscious. People can be unconscious, they can even be in coma. But you don't know for sure if they're still able to think in those conditions. We don't know. And we guess. Often you can. And again, a word study brings these different nuances, these different aspects of the word out. Compare 1 Samuel 26:12. So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head, and they went away as he snuck up and did this. But no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. That's a deep sleep. That's our word, teradama. So, in that verse, it recognizes activity going on around them, but they're completely oblivious to it. See. And God intercedes on behalf of David and company, etc. Then confer Isaiah 29:10. Verse 9, be delayed and wait, blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink, because of their own spiritual dullness, inebriation of FCA, human viewpoint, consumption. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. And He has shut your eyes to prophets. He has covered your heads to seers. They're oblivious to the truth. See. The false prophets, etc., because they choose to pursue under their sin nature and human viewpoint. And that looks at spiritual sleep. That's our term, the deep sleep. That's a spiritually speaking. And that falls right in line with the fact that those who are negative to doctrine indeed are blind to the truth. They're oblivious to really the truth of doctrine and what it's really all about. So that's your first word there, deep sleep. You're unconscious, but you still have brain activity. You are oblivious to the events going around you. So the removal of the rib, etc., the physical impact, that's not bothering you. So 18 now, the cal verb. So you have the noun first, the deep sleep. Now you have the verb, the cal verb. He slept, yashin. That indicates that Adam was in a thoroughly relaxed and otherwise contented state in this deep sleep. Judges 16:19. Here, Delilah and Samson. And she, Delilah, made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off 7 locks of his hair. He was completely at rest. He felt secure in Delilah's hands. Obviously, he was ready to take a nap, not to get into it too far. And he slept peacefully. So, he is in a thoroughly relaxed, he's very content as one might with another that they truly love of the opposite sex in this condition. Then Psalm 4:9.
don't think so. That one's incorrect.
Well, verse 8 is probably... Yeah, verse 8.
Instead of 9.
In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. That's our verbs, sleep. But the emphasis here is in peace. He's content. A complete RMA, if you will. At rest with himself. For you alone, O Lord, you make me to dwell in safety. He trusts God. And therefore he has a peaceful, contented, good night's rest. That's the idea. So that should be 4:8, and then that's okay. Then Ecclesiastes 5:12. Our term peace associated with the sleep is what I'm bringing out here. The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. Again, the sleep associated with satisfied, at ease with oneself. So that verb indicates Adam, while God caused his deep sleep to come upon him, in this condition he was thoroughly relaxed, and he was otherwise content. 19, together the noun and verb indicate that even though God caused a deep sleep, to Adam it seemed completely natural. As God took him under, to Adam it's just, all right, named all the animals, I'm going to take a nap. And it seemed very natural. It's not no Three Stooges thing with a hammer and a head over the head and you're out, see. It all seems very natural to Adam. So that's part of what's being exposed here in the language. So 20, this is often how God works in the lives of others, bringing about blessing in a very natural way. In fact, probably most of the time, things will happen in a natural way. You don't have to crank it up, I'm telling you. You just go on in life. You do what you're supposed to do before God. And through natural circumstances, etc., you know, then God brings to pass that which we're looking for or need or whatever else you may want to attribute to your situation. Now, obviously, God here is supernaturally bringing about all this together. But to Adam, it feels very natural. It seems very natural. Nothing abnormal in regards to his own thinking and all this. When things are abnormal, that's when, you know, the little red flags ought to be coming up. So 21, now obviously God could have performed the surgery with Adam awake without causing any pain. And God, that's not impossible for God. Could have gave him some type of pain protection in this regard. Adam could have sit there and watched all that happened. But this is not the way God chose to do it. 22, now further, after the procedure, Adam required no time for recovery, as do all that experience invasive surgery. God's hand in it is obvious because of the expediency of once it was done, he comes to, and he's ready to address life, and basically he's healed and he's ready to go. Oh, look what I got. So, obviously, we recognize the supernatural aspects associated with the situation. But again, to Adam, it's just went to sleep, he woke up, there's his right woman. See, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. So 23, now the exercise, why God went through it in such a fashion. The exercise is a lesson to teach that right man, right woman is a mystery. It is a mystery. There are certain aspects that you can place upon it. But doctrine teaches that God has truly a right opposite number for each and every one of individuals who desire to be married, and that's His will for them to be married in time. And the coupling of the right man, right woman, bringing this together, is a mystery. 24, the noun, deep sleep, teratoma, teaches the unseen workings of God behind the scene to bring together one's right spouse. That's God's part. It's brought out in the hifil verb that is causative, as He caused to fall upon Adam this deep sleep. God's working behind the scene. God knew in eternity past who your right opposite number should be. We don't recognize it until we get there. But He already knows. And He ensures that the setting is of such that the right opposite numbers will come in contact with one another. And He will bring them together. So the deep sleep part looks at God's hand in regards to bringing together the correct counterpart as husband and wife. And here, as it's directed towards the husband, the authority. And that assumes, obviously, that the man is the one who's taking the lead in all this. See, another bunch of bull crap that's pushed down people's throats today is that somehow the woman has arisen above her status biblically as a female, and she's equal with the man, and she has just as much right to go out and pursue a husband as a husband would pursue the right opposite number, his wife. No, that's wrong. The woman should be passive and should wait upon God, just like the man waits upon God to bring to him his right woman. That is nothing more, again, than this whole dating scenario that has burst through and become so popular in our society. You got to get out. You got to explore. You got to check them all out. And the woman can be just as aggressive in regards to pursuing a right man as the man might be otherwise. Well, whatever it is, it's not doctrinal, I can tell you that. So, yeah, we're going to have some fun. At least I am. Maybe I've done one thing right in my life, I don't know. Now the verb, he slept, continuing on. He slept teaches the adjusted believers otherwise acclimation to life, content on faith resting that God ultimately will bring it to pass. That's man's part. So the deep sleep that he caused to fall upon Adam was God's part. He slept, looks at man's part. What's man doing? Nothing. He's chilling. See? He's completely at rest. And it recognizes that essentially he's approaching life in its most natural way. He's acclimated to things. No, he didn't find it as he might have looked, and obviously in a very inquisitive and sensitized way, a right opposite number for him in the animal kingdom. But he's still acclimated. Okay. And if nothing else, he recognizes that he's not going to find it within God's creation in that fashion. If he's going to have one, it's going to have to come from God. See, we brought that out in regards to the other set of verses. So his sleeping on his part looks at the adjusted believer who is waiting on their right opposite number to be acclimated to life, and they are content on faith resting that God will ultimately bring it to pass. But you got to understand, it's going to be at God's timing, not yours. Try to second guess God on this. Try to up God on this. And all you do is bungle the situation. 26, there is no need to conjure up or pursue relationships otherwise to this end. Plug into doctrine, acclimate to your niche, pray about things, faith rest things. God knows your desires. He knows them better than you. And guess what? He knows exactly what you need in regards to the marital situation. As smart as we may think we are otherwise, and as discerning we may be in regards to other individuals around us, God knows exactly what our soul needs to be maximum positive in time and to have the best relationship in order to enhance that positive relationship and spiritual balance in our life. Better than we do. And heck, who knows? He may wait until you're 14 before he even brings around your right opposite number. Hey, a robber. Okay. But, there's no need to conjure or crank up relationships. And again, this is definitely a test, I know, for young people today. For those who are in the singleness, because you're bombarded with everything that states otherwise. If you don't get it now, you're going to miss it. I mean, I know how the STA works. Come on, God, let me live long enough so I can do this. See, or whatever. Well, all that is your STA. Now, before one may think that, you're just driving this in regards to this creation account, wait, it gets better. 27, the teaching is further evidenced in the Old Testament via the custom of parents being instrumental in picking the spouse for their son. What? Someone else is going to find my right opposite number for me? Our society, I guarantee you. What? This is crazy. That's so old school. That's archaic. To let parents pick their spouse. God's in charge. God's in charge. Perfect example is Abraham, his servant, and Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac didn't say, I'm going to go out and find my right opposite number. No, Abraham says, he needs a wife. He gets a servant and says, all right, here's what you do. You follow my instructions, and if this person is the one, and you find it, it'll be made clear to you by God. That's recorded for us in Genesis 24. And that's just too fun to try to rush through in 4 minutes. So we'll pick this up Thursday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, that you enlighten us to see these things in Jesus' name. Amen.